You know, years ago, as the kiddos and the youth leave, they go to their classes and they get taught the Word of God. And one thing that we do here is we don't babysit them, only we teach them. We want to raise them up the right way. And then when they get home, it's your job, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and friends and family. And, you know, because it takes the whole church to raise us sometimes. Because there's times when we're not around mom and dad. Oh, it was the funniest thing. I won't tell you who, but I was at a rodeo in Yuma, Colorado this last week. And there were some people, and I saw them. I knew them. Praise God, they kind of, ministers and done some, and love God and still do. And I walked around the corner, and both of them had cigarettes in their mouths. I just thought it was the funniest thing when the preacher comes around and catches them. Well, I then began to, you know, not want them to feel guilt and condemnation because I ain't the judge. I'm not the judge. You do what you want. That's between you and the Lord. And but it was just so funny to me that he goes, whoop, I need to put down this Satan stick. Listen to me. Don't be any other way than how you are around everybody. And if it isn't, if you're not living right, then just start living right. Amen? That way you're not living in guilt and condemnation, having to be different when the preacher comes around. No, I want people to be who they are all the time. That way, then, we let the anointing teach them and correct, if that's what you want to call it, and not feel like they got to change to be around us. You know, no, I want to love on them no matter what. I didn't think a thing about it, but man, I could tell it upset them. And then I begin to build them up, you know, and say, hey, you know, God, he can deliver you from anything. Just, you know, I'm just a messenger, you know. But God had me come at the right time, probably. Let's wake up, church. Time to wake up and not be different in front of in the church than you are outside the church. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't start cussing because you cuss out there. Have some respect for the Lord. But God's wanting to clean us all up. I see a lot of things going on in the world out there that really prompted this message. Didn't realize that I was even going to be here this Sunday. Howdy was supposed to be preaching today. And on Friday, I called my wife and I said, hey, I believe I need to come home. So the boy that I'm trying to help make the national finals, I called him and said, hey, I found you a ride to Coffeyville, Kansas, and I'll be there on Monday night, and then you can get in with me and we'll go, and I'll help you. And he said, not a problem. I said, I need to be here, and I can come home. I'll try to make it on Friday night, and as y'all heard, I didn't quite make it. I made it to Sterling City from Lovington, New Mexico. It was about midnight. I was give out tired. I pull into that rodeo arena there, and I've won saddles there before. Years ago, I've watched my brother win two in one day there. And, man, it was old, and it was dusty, and no one was around, but the water worked in the back. And I was able to put my horse in a pen and pull up my trailer and start the generator and got a good night's sleep, and then I came home. And I didn't know when God started birthing this message that I was going to be here, because I felt like, well, the boys roping last night at Lovington, I knew he would make the top 10 and go in the performance last night that we watched on TV. And that would make me then not be able to be here, but things worked out. So this message really is designed for you, for me. Because anytime I preach to me. If I need it, I figure someone else probably going to need it. Amen. And it birthed because, man, I've been seeing, and I'm sure you have too, a lot of crazy things out there in that world. I'm ministering with one family that is going through some marital problems like you've never seen, just attack. Mental issues and things that are just trying to destroy this little family. Then another boy hit me at Lovington, and I was just riding around, and he said, "What's the good news, preacher?" That's what they call me out there, preacher. And I went to preaching. And at the end of it, he was like, and it was from a story that when there was a heartbreak in my life, my dad came to me, and he said, "You know what you need, Corey? I'd went to the ranch, lost 10 pounds, and upset, missed a week of college, etc." And he said, "You know what you need, Corey?" And I said, "What, Dad?" In a crying state. He said, "You need to get a I don't give a care attitude." And he began to explain it. And he said, "Not that you don't care, but that the care is not so big in your life that it moves you to depression, to anxiety, to stress." Because see, that's what I'm seeing out there. Lots of depression, lots of anxiety, lots of stressful things that are happening in people's lives. And this boy on his horse, we were both horseback, and he said, "Yeah, you know what, I just don't care. Like, they hurt me enough." And I was able to minister to him, you know, after that, of course, you know, because I had to explain that we care, but we don't care to where now you're upset at somebody. Oh, man, I can list story after story. I mean, of how people are calling me so upset because it's not raining and there's fire warnings. And I mean, the land is burning up. Why are we in 100-degree temperatures for this long? What is going on? Is God mad at us? You know, and you hear everything. And then, of course, I'm also dealing with some that are just struggling with temptation. And the temptation is really, really strong in lots of areas, which, by the way, is just end time stuff. Did you hear me? End time stuff. And I know I've preached many messages on the return of the Lord. They've been preaching that for years. Matter of fact, I heard grandmas and grandpas preach it way back when, 100 plus years ago, I'm sure. They have said, "Look up, your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is about to return." And we're going to keep preaching that. You know why? Because we're supposed to stay ready for the return of God. Not scared. Not scared because we haven't accomplished the things that we want to accomplish. No. Just ready for the return so that we're that part that is called up to meet Jesus in the air. Would you agree with that? The temptation to do bad is very strong a lot of times, and if you fall to it, then, you know, there's, again, the devil brings guilt, condemnation, and the Lord just brings conviction. I mean, your heart's convicted. Any believer that does things wrong, your heart will condemn you. And my job this morning is to just get us built up that, number one, we live, thank God, under grace and mercy, but we need to know how to survive when a lot of these things happen in our life, when we're going through the trial, the tribulation. What do? Do you just let what the doctor said come to pass in your life without standing on the Word of God and not believing the report of a human over the report of the Lord? Or maybe we should believe the report of the Lord a whole lot more than any other report. Are we going to keep going through the same old trial and tribulation over and over and over? I mean, I'm talking about, you know, we'll say, God, deliver me from this stuff, and then we'll be good for a month or two, and then here it comes back. The same old temptation. So when I was praying about this message, the Lord put in my heart one word. You know what it is? Foundation. Say that with me. Foundation. Now, we're fixing to build a covered arena, and y'all heard the size of it. 170 by 300 is a big building. This building right here that a lot of us were on the roof building, this is a 10,000 square foot. This is 100 by 100. And we're talking about 170 by 300. We had the engineers engineer the pier holes that are going to get drilled on Thursday, supposedly. I hope. I mean, that guy, they spent quite a bit of time, came and bore holes with a machine so they can test the ground and when they hit rock or if they hit rock. Joe Eddy, a water well, goes to this church, already had told me that about 15 feet or 3 or 4 feet black dirt, and then you'll hit some caliche dirt, and then you get down to some sand. It's a little thicker, you know, some, I don't know what you call it, but this guy is saying, okay, this is how big you need the holes, and this is how deep you need the holes. You know why? Because we need a foundation. It's rated for about 120 plus mile an hour winds so that it won't fall over on people. I mean, we need the foundation. Because when you got a good foundation, it's solid, 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 solid. Okay, think about that though. Because if you don't have a foundation underneath you, you're in trouble. I'm even talking about born again people. Because you might have a helmet of salvation on going to heaven when you die. But what is your foundation like? Some people, it's fear. I mean, that's just what they base everything on, fear. I was talking to Howdy, and we were talking about a roping that my son's going to this weekend, and Howdy's boy, and Howdy's going to go too, I believe. And it's expensive. What are the fees? Like $450? It's expensive. And we just got to talking, and I said, well, listen to me. Here's the deal when you enter a bigger, high-dollar paying rodeo that you don't get in fear over the amount that you're paying. If you don't have it, don't go. But if you go in there with, okay, Seth, it's $450. I need you to do well. Well, then what does that do? Causes pressure, right? And then they're roping under the pressure that they definitely do not need. So we've got to not be based in fear, because then that becomes the foundation, you see. A lot of people, their foundation is anger. I mean, they're just flat mad over what's happened to them in their life. Why did I go through that? God, I thought you was a good God. And the religious type people will blame God. I dealt with another guy out there who's also going through a major divorce, and it's very nasty. And he came to me, but what came out of his mouth as I began to minister to him, I just felt like I needed to correct. I felt like it was wrong. But I preferenced it with, hey, if your pastor says something different than what I'm fixing to tell you, then trust your pastor. And I said, okay, here's the deal. he began to say that, man, everything I'm going through, God must be trying to get my faith stronger. Well, it sounds good on the outside, really, but it's very incorrect, because if you think that way, that God is doing this to try to build your faith up, then God has to get the blame for what you're going through. And I'm here to tell you, and I was raised this way, guys, and I'm just going to tell you what the Word of God says to me. And it says to me that God's not going to stick you through anything to teach you a lesson. He's already done it. He already sent Jesus. And I just simply told the guy, I said, listen, if you speak that way, then someone's going to have to think that God is the one that's causing you to go through a nasty divorce, and he's going to get the blame for it. When there's a devil, son. There's a devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God's trying to get the blessing of God. He's trying to get reconciliation for that marriage. He's not going to put you through some cancer to try to teach you a lesson. No, no. He gave you the Word of God, praise the Lord. And he said, listen, and I told this boy, I said, and y'all probably heard me say this before, but I said, look, why would you think God wants to put you in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Thank God with the Holy Ghost. No, 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 no. If they went through the fire, God's trying to tell you to learn from it so you don't have to go into the fire. Not in a negative way anyway. I mean, we're going to still stand before God, and we're going to still do what God tells us to do, and we're still going to get persecuted probably in this world system, but by golly, it's not going to touch us. But we don't have to have an attitude that we've got to go through the fire to learn some lesson. No, you've got the Word of God. You got the Word, you see. No, what we need is a foundation. We need a foundation underneath us so that when things do go a little bit crazy, because we live in a world but not of it, right? We're on the foundation like an old mule. Man, I'll never forget Dad getting his mules ready to go hunting in the Guadalupes in New Mexico. And man, you would get up there and there would be some real tight, narrow paths on the very top of the mountain that you had to go. And a mule, they didn't think a thing about it. Man, they just, man, but man, when you was on top of that mule and you looked down, it, woo, Jesus. And Dad would say, I probably wouldn't look down. And we'd have several mules, and we'd just be going over this little pass, and those old mules, no shoes. I mean, they just, no big deal. Why? Because they're sure-footed. They're stability, praise God. Come on, y'all preach back to me just a little bit. Every now and then, give me a amen. Or maybe a little more excitement, like, glory be to God. See, that mule has some stability. He's not going to be just slipping and sliding like an old horse or an old colt with shoes on. I mean, they're just slipping out a lot of times. We would ride those rim rocks in Sheffield and Ira Ann and McCamey and all that country when we were young, gathering all those sheep and goats. And man, we'd be riding a colt, and you had to ride shoes because they had rim rocks that sometimes were fences that were 12, 15 feet. And there was only one way to get down. And those old colts would get down, and man, you had to hold their head up and you had to lean back, any of you, because man, I mean, it was steep going down, and man, they was slipping. Thank God for four legs. And they was slipping and sliding, but a mule, not a problem, man. They just, I mean, they cool. See, that's a foundation, though. And when you got a foundation on the underneath you, oh, man, Every devil in hell can come against you, but with the right foundation, man, there's such a stability like that mule. See? Now, that doesn't mean, right, that the enemy won't attack. That's his job, steal, kill, and destroy. But when the foundation is right, I mean, when you got the right foundation, then you're not in fear. You're not in any doubt. You're just in faith. Man, I'm going to make it through this one. Mike came to me a little bit ago, and I'm not going to share his business, but we were just talking as pastor and friend, and he told me about a little setback, and I said, well, thank God, God's your provider. Amen. And I saw him. That's right. I said, and let's stand on this scripture. And we found it. John found it for me in Exodus. It talks about when you catch the thief, he owes you double. I said, Mike, stand on that scripture. You tell the devil. You realize the devil is just a fallen angel? He's not you. You were created by God in God's image. In His likeness. An angel cannot sit in the presence of God. They got to stand. Guess what you can do? You can sit or stand in front of your God. Amen. Man. Well, the devil's just a fallen angel that got stupid. Hey, that's in the Bible. I'm going to read it to you here in just a second. Listen to me. When the enemy's attacking, which he does, if your foundation is solid, oh man, nothing's going to move you away. You're not going to be one of those in the last days that falls away from the faith. Don't you dare. No, you get your faith stronger. But again, God is not the problem. He's the problem solver. So, in your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy real fast. I want to go over this scripture, and I've got about 14 minutes to do it. Ready? Let's go fast. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Praise God. Let's go verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. You realize that, right? So you don't have to go bury money. And having food and raiment, which is just provision, let us be there with content. Let us be satisfied. Then it talks about rich people. Look at this. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Did you notice it didn't say that God doesn't want you to be rich because you're going to fall into temptation? No, it just says there's some that fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, this is where we get the love of money, is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, some, not all, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, now look at me for just a second. If it says, O thou man of God, he's talking about all of us, women and men. So receive it this way. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. Follow after love. Follow after patience. Follow after meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Come on, give God praise. Seriously. Man, when we understand this, this is our foundation. The foundation that God wants us to stay on top of is the Word of God. When I'm talking to these people with the temptation at whatever age to do wrong, you don't have the right foundation underneath you. I don't have to go to all the epistles that talk about seed and where you sow seed into good ground. There's shaky ground, stony ground, you know, all the ground that has weeds, etc. No, no, no. God wants you to have a foundation of the rock, which is just simply Jesus, which is just simply the Word of God, because Jesus became the Word. So listen, if you're a born-again believer, it's necessary for all of us to get into this Word and start learning who you are in Christ. We don't have time to just come to church once a week and try to get filled up and then live out there in that world. We've got to start dusting off the dust of the coffee table where our Bibles reside a lot, and start getting into it one scripture at a time, one Bible study at a time, because this is our only foundation. If you don't have the rock, you got sand. And you've got to get standing on a good, solid foundation. And I told the boy, I said, and the only foundation that we have is the Word of God. If you go then into temptation, when you're on the solid foundation, you'll be able to say no to that temptation. When the doctor tells you you have 4 months to live because of some cancer, when you're on the right foundation, you got the Word of God on the inside of you, you'll just simply say, no, sir, I don't receive that. I am healed by the precious stripes of the Lord Jesus. Every disease and sickness as a believer of God shall not come near my body. See, you'll start speaking that stuff, but if you're not on top of a foundation, you won't know what to say. You'll just receive, and you'll say things like I've heard before. Well, you know, my diabetes and my cancer, I'm believing God to get healed of. No, no, your problem is it's not supposed to be yours. Jesus defeated it on the cross, praise God. His blood was shed for it. Now listen. So the love of money is the root of all evil. While some covet after it, they have erred from the faith, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Fight the good fight, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. There's a time when I've told these guys, listen, you get... Stop that bawling. Stop that crying and get yourself up and get matured in the Word of God and tell that devil where to go. Amen. Stop bawling and stop being upset because you're going through all this stuff. No, no, get on a solid foundation where you can have some faith to say, I speak to you, mountain, and I command you to be cast into the sea. The Word says, don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things which you say is going to come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you sayeth. So when you speak to the devil to get back under your feet, he has to. Why? Because you're doing it in the name that's above every name, Jesus. Okay? All right, now watch, though. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's the key. Thank God we get to have eternal life. Not with some negative way of, well, I just can't wait to get to heaven so I can finally have some peace. No, 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 you're thinking wrong. That's called stinking thinking. You need peace here. You don't need it in heaven. We've got to get it right here, okay? Now watch. Unto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. All this is saying is get your tongue under control. Start saying what God says. Stop saying what the world says. It's tempting though, right? 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quicketh all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He's just trying to get us to start talking the Word of God, you see. That thou keep this commandment. What is the commandment? Fight the good fight of faith. I ain't got time to talk to you about faith, but Hebrews 12, 1 tells you about now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Keep this thou commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Look at me. That's just saying you keep the faith no matter what you got to go through. You keep living for God. And if you keep living for God and confessing this word and you're on the word of God, which is your foundation, Jesus is everything to you. I'm telling you, you'll just go right through the valleys of the shadow of death. You'll fear no evil, praise God. The devil will be afraid of you, not you afraid of the devil. Look at verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only King of kings, Lord of lords. Let me see what that says, because I want to really give you. Which at the period will be shown forth in his own proper time by the blessed, only sovereign ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality in the sense that there's exemption from every kind of death. Do you realize that's talking about you and me too? We are exempted from any kind of death. Why? Because we're thinking about eternal things. We're not thinking about dying and not knowing where we're going. No, we're going to heaven. Jesus has already prepared a place for us. Thank you for John 14. Amen. Now listen, verse 16. Every kind of death and lives unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. Unto him be honor, everlasting power and dominion. Amen, and so be it. Man, I wanted to show y'all. Let me find that real fast, because I wanted to show you. Where is that? Oh, because it said something about stupid. I ain't got time to try to find it, but it's in here somewhere. Oh, and I thought, man, that was good. Okay, look. Then it goes back on verse 17 and it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Did you notice God didn't say not be rich? No, he just said, don't let finances control you. You control it. But in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Oh, praise God. Lay up, verse 19, here's where we're going. Lay up in store for themselves a good, say it with me, foundation. Say it loud, everybody. Foundation. Lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The things that I really saw here that you need to get a hold of is, number one, get your communication right. Number two, live in that unapproachable light. Live in the light of the Lord Jesus. That's why I recorded a song on an album called Staying in the Light. You know, God's your light. He's your everything, see. Number three, do good. Live in righteousness. That's your foundation, y'all. We're not mean Christians. We love people. But we stand on the principles of God, which then the world will use against us. Especially when we say marriage is between a natural-born man and a natural-born woman. Amen. Why? Because they can be fruitful and multiply. A man and a man and a woman and a woman, or whatever, cannot. And I'm here to tell you, at this church, we believe in two genders. You're either a man or a woman, okay? Okay. But here's the deal. We still have to love, because there's a world that is very confusing out there. And it's causing people to just think the way they want to, with no morality. You know that, real fast, I'm just watching that clock back there, and I've got 2 minutes and some change. Turn that thing off for a minute. Real fast, though, I saw a little program on the, what's his name, the owner of Twitter, they call X now, Musk, Elon. And he said, really, nuclear war is not the dangerous thing in the world. That's not the most dangerous. It's this AI, whatever it is. Artificial intelligence. You know what the problem with that is? it don't have any morality. It doesn't know right from wrong. It's trying to be God, you see. Oh, man. But in times, number four, be a giver. Be a giver, y'all. That's the foundation we've got to stand on. Here's the last thing. Live right. Let's live right. Proverbs chapter 10, 25 says, as the whirlwind passeth, and it feels like a whirlwind a lot, y'all. The wicked are no more, but the uncompromisingly righteous will have an everlasting foundation. The only way to get through what you're going through possibly, or know people that are going through some tough things, is get a foundation. And for a believer, it's the Word of God. It's nothing else. It can't be the world. It can't be the stock market. It can't be gold and silver. It can't be oil. It has to be a foundation of God, period. Amen. Amen. So I realize that you're probably thinking of some things that you're going through now, you've been through, or someone that's going through some stuff. This is what you need to teach them. Get the foundation right. What are you thinking more of, in other words? Because that's really your foundation. Is it disgust, hurt? No. You need to replace that with the Word of God. Because that's going to fall away and you're going to sink. And you're going to go through the same old trial and tribulation over and over and over again. But no more. No more. Our foundation is the Word of God. So, let's get to Bible study. If you're going through something right now, even if it's sin, thank God that's why the blood's for you. That's why there's forgiveness. That's why there's mercy. That's why there's everything that Jesus did by dying, a cruel death, is so that you don't have to live under that guilt and condemnation. It's time to live right. And you can do it. Don't you dare think you can't. I don't know enough scripture. Doesn't matter. All you got to know is the Lord Jesus. Get your Bible out and the Holy Ghost will start teaching you things. He'll teach you when you don't have to have a preacher all the time. They're not around a lot. I'm in Coffeyville, Kansas. But the Holy Ghost, well, I'm a phone call away though. But the Holy Ghost, man, he'll just give you revelation. Here's the last thing I'll say. Listen to me. God's good. The devil's bad. Say it with me. God is good. The devil's bad. Say it again. God is good. So everything that's good comes from above. Everything bad comes from a devil that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. If you understand that, you'll understand the Bible. When you're going through a bad thing, don't blame God. He'll help you get out of it. He's the foundation. The devil is trying to destroy you. So tell him to get back under your feet, okay? That's foundation. Praise God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. If there's one person in the sound of my voice, either watching or in this audience, that doesn't know what would happen to you if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, hadn't thought about it, I want you to think about it right now, because there's going to be what the Bible calls a great judgment day. And you're going to stand before God one day. And it's going to be by yourself, not with family or friends or anybody else. You're going to stand before God Almighty. The Bible says if you've confessed, this is Romans, Jesus is Lord. You gave your life to Him. He's the Lord of your life. He's your Savior. When you stand before God, God will say, well done. Come on into heaven. The joy of the Lord, the rest. You want to rest? Come on in. But it can't happen without Jesus. If you decide, because you have a will, God gave it to you. You got a will. You can say no to Him. You can say yes to Him. You can say no to sin. You can say yes to it. He gives you that will. He just wants you to have the will of Him. He wants to be a foundation to you. But if you decide in your will to say no to God, I want to have nothing to do with this God stuff. He's not a man that he can lie. He has to say depart. He don't want to send you to a place called hell. Really, you send yourself there. No, he says, I set before you life, blessing. But there's also death and cursing. And he says this in Deuteronomy, choose life, please, please. Choose life and the blessing. It's your choice this morning. No preacher can make you give your heart to Jesus, but He's the only way, truth, and life to get to the Father in heaven. John 14:6. There's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus. So is He your Lord? If you stood before God Almighty, do you know what He'll say? If you don't, ask Jesus to come into your life this morning. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The believers in this church are going to pray this prayer with you. But if you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth, then I'm going to ask you to receive Jesus so that you can go to a place called heaven, which is eternity, forever and ever and ever. Because you're going to be in one place or the other. And I want you to go to heaven, not hell. I beg you to give your heart to Jesus. So, if you don't mind, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now by praying this prayer. And again, believers, would y'all just pray this prayer with me? Y'all that are praying it for the first time and asking Jesus to come into your life to be your Lord, mean what you pray. And let's pray it just like this. You ready? Out of your mouth, we're going to do it. We're confessing it. We're going to say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. I will serve you all of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm just going to ask you right where you're at, sitting or standing. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, don't be ashamed of it. I want you to be happy that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. He's your foundation. He's your only hope, y'all. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to the Lord, at the count of three, get that hand straight up. Let me see it. Don't you be afraid. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. Let's not be ashamed that we just prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to come into our heart. So when I say three, you get your hand up. All you're doing by raising your hand is saying, God, I meant that prayer, and Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. That's all I want you to do. Ready? With boldness. 1, 2, 3. Go. Thank you. Appreciate that, young lady. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Just make sure I see it. Don't be ashamed. I saw it. I want to give you a Bible. Just... yeah, thank you. No one looking around. Just hand that right to her. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Make sure I see it. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Hey, man. I was, by the way, I watch almost every Sunday. It's just from somewhere. And if it's where I can, I watch. And I saw, what was there one last week? Do you realize I was raised in church? They might have 10 the whole year. And at the end of the year, they go, hey, praise God, we got 10 this year. And thank God for that, because I would go across the oceans for one. But to have almost every service someone get born again, is really the mission of this church. Amen. Amen.